This is the Deeper Understandings column, this time Venerating Our Ancestors. It's written by Kwame Pitts, a pastor of Crossroads Lutheran Church, Buffalo, New York, and of Lutheran Campus Ministry in Western New York. Last summer, I found myself on the plenary floor at the 2019 ELCA Churchwide Assembly, addressing the importance of remembering the Emmanuel Nine, and why we, as a denomination, had to do something physical and tangible instead of an abstract statement that would fall into the virtual dust buried on a website. It was important because racism drove a man, a member of an ELCA congregation, to walk boldly into a church, sit down for a whole hour, and share Bible study before he stood up and said they all needed to die because African Americans were a threat to American Christianity and U.S. society overall. This violent catalyst would force the ELCA to face the fact that our church has not been historically welcoming to people of the African diaspora, much less anyone who is not cis and gendered. Much less anyone who is not cisgender and white. As a denomination, we can no longer sweep under the rug our culpability and role in allowing the empire to seep into our church communities until there are no safe, authentic spaces for anyone who does not match the status quo. As debate began on the Emmanuel 9 resolution, a question was raised about the word veneration. Initially, I experienced this as a knee-jerk reaction to a word that many Lutherans may not be aware of or may identify as something more Catholic, but it was also a moment of education for those who are not of the African diaspora to understand why we feel a need to include veneration and the rite of libations, a moment when we invite not only the Creator and the Spirit, but also those saints, those ancestors, into sacred space as we remember them in our worship contexts as something most holy and very spiritual. The exploration of how rituals function in both worship and in communal settings outside of a physical building is part of the work that emboldens me as a womanist practical theologian. The need for resources to deal with both historical and generational trauma due to racism, oppression, and marginalization is critical in this reality of the Black Lives Movement, which encompasses the political, social, and economic dimensions of society. The decentralization of worship from only one way or style or dogma shifts the atmosphere in a way that we should welcome if we're committed to being in community, regardless of how that evolves. Ritual action is important to the ethos of Black Lives in America, as James H. Cone expressed in The Cross and the Lynching Tree. It was the Black Church that African Americans have felt authentically and unabashedly whole and emancipated, where they knew that God loved them. They were aware that there were places in the Scriptures where Jesus stated that he stood with those oppressed, marginalized, and violated by the known empire and the unknown religious leaders. That is what the word veneration encompasses. From the viewpoint of the African diaspora, venerating our ancestors is important for two reasons. First, we continue to uplift the stories of struggle and celebration that our elders have gone through and the lessons that can be learned from them. Second, we continue to work on liberation and of equality that our elders had been involved in many ways, whether intimately or collectively and publicly. Veneration means that we affirm their humanity and their legacy, and that they were important to the ethos of the wider society, and that they mattered. Spiritual Care in the Age of Black Lives Matter quotes Philip Goff, president of the Center for Policing Equity. He says, The perception that the perpetrators of violence face no consequence for their actions can transform trauma into terror. If you're conditioned to a trauma and that trauma occurs and recurs in context where it feels like you have no control over it, that's when trauma becomes terror. If the church is supposed to be an oasis from the chaos, the confusion, and the convolutedness of the world, then how do we counteract the terror? What happens when that terror happens within our own walls, to our siblings in Christ and in faith? How do we honor their lives when the unthinkable happens? When one of our own defiles someone else's life and uses God's name in the same breath? How do we honor them? Veneration uplifts them as beloved saints and ancestors in light, recognizing that the Emmanuel 9, without hesitation, welcomed whomever into their doors of their sacred space, because that is what the Creator called them to do. We, in the same vein, should, without hesitation, uplift and venerate them, because that is what the Creator calls us to do. Amen.